Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialists, Phil, John, and McKenna are back, and we have another defining episode for you today talking about Camilla from season 48. We are talking about the House Party's Over, episode number 4, the Thomas Boot, Camilla's craftiness on full display. And this one, good thing for Camilla, it was episode 4. Bad thing for Camilla, it was in the season everybody just watched. And then everybody heard that she would have won the season if she got to the end. So we're going to be diving into what this episode's all about for Camilla, what it could mean for the differences we're going to see in her game in Survivor 50. And we're going to be done talking about Survivor 48 for a little bit here. That's going to feel honestly kind of good for my soul. I feel like I've talked about Survivor 48 more than I've talked about any other season of Survivor other than 50, which I think I'm on my 75th episode of Survivor 50 already. And as all of you can see, we've recorded 6 episodes in a row on the same night here. And just the amount of 50 that I have done in the first couple of weeks of June is just, I want to go back on vacation. Like from my podcast, not even from my real job. I just want to go on vacation from my podcast at this point. So let's talk about Camilla. What's going on?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good and bad that their defining moment is in the pre-merge, but it really set us up for the rest of Camilla's game. And it was great to see this big strategic move here in the pre-merge and then watch the rest of the game unfold with Camilla and see her strategic chops and see her rise into, holy crap, she's a contender for the crown.
Yeah. I also think with this episode, the fact that it's the swap happens and mm-hmm. she's on the wrong side of the numbers and we get to see how masterfully she plays this without being able to have really long conversations with Kyle and needing to pretend she's good with getting Kyle out of the game. I think that the way that she does this is just like, wow, the deception is on full mm-hmm. display. Just full display. And it's something that we do see later in the game, but it feels like this is the type of game that she wanted to play, right? This is the type of game that she wanted to play, but was not able to in the second half of the game, just because of the way it shook out. That could either be really bad for her or really good for her on 50. I do lean that it's probably going to be bad more than good because people will be wary of her, but you never know. Crafty as anything. I mean, just unbelievably crafty. John, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I think the most important thing that this episode really defines for Camilla is her adaptability. I think that is her strongest point of her gameplay completely, because we know going into the season, she had a completely different idea of how she was going to play it. We even see there's a moment later in the season where Camilla straight up says, I didn't think we would be playing this loyal game. I had a completely different idea of what this game was going to be on a different season without a bunch of jocks on it. I probably connect with people a lot more, and I am playing this better. She's on a season with a bunch of Survivor All-Stars now.
Yeah.
This is a completely different game. And yes, her closest ally, who, you know, supposedly didn't really talk to her in the game at all, is there. And that's bad. It's especially bad for Camilla, who might not seem the most useful in the pre-merge section of this game. But maybe, just maybe, she's able to utilize that strategy she wanted to use in this game a little bit more and apply it in a better setting, because what she does in this is an absolute masterclass in how to deal with a situation that you have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm. But what you were talking about, how like she feels like she was just on a season full of jocks. It's not just like the jocks and the pretty people for 50. It is a bunch of different characters and archetypes, and more along the lines of her character and archetype as well, where like she's going to be interacting with Emily, Genevieve, you know, people that have Ceri, people that have this, maybe I might not be good at the tribal phase, but I've got a real strategic bone in my body to keep me moving forward. So it'll be interesting to see where she swapped on a group of the beefy boys mm-hmm. and was able to navigate around that to keep herself all the way to Final Four.
Yeah. And on a season where never that was happened. In the strong alliance. Right. Mm-hmm. The strong alliance was its own thing. And Camilla was always seen as the outside of it. And David clocked it right away. And then Kyle and Camilla said, all right, David, you got to get out of here. Even though Kyle has admitted that that was actually his number one for a while there. Mm-hmm. I think that that was very impressive as well. It also, though, in this episode, she shows her loyalty to her allies. Mm-hmm. And that is Kyle. Right. She gives him her extra vote. So yeah. Now Kyle has an extra vote to try to move the alliance further through the game. And I think that that's really telling too. I think that Camilla, her personality, I mean, I love her personality. I think that there's some of the old school players that she might not get along with, but I think she's going to have a lot of avenues, because for as deceptive as she could be, she wants to just keep backing the bus up over and over again. And she's willing to make these types of moves for the sake of her allies, for the sake of her game, to overcome numbers of the California girls of a really tight alliance and be so sneaky and so good at this, but is always there for her allies. And so if you're coming out there and you say, I want to work with Camilla, just don't get on Camilla's bad side. If you're on Camilla's good side, I think you actually have a very good chance to go deep into the game and Camilla might serve as a little bit of a shield for you. The smallest shield in Survivor history, though.
Yes, Camilla is good for her allies, but getting Kyle to navigate votes off of her to give Kyle a hard road to try and keep her in the game, that's crazy to have people throw themselves on the sword to try and navigate around certain votes that would be easier if you just let Camilla go. I think that speaks a lot to her value, especially in this episode where it could have been easy for both Kyle and Camilla to not work together and just like, I need one more vote. Mm-hmm.
The most impressive thing Camilla does in this entire episode is proves her improv chops. And that is, it all comes down to the scene when they're on the beach and she immediately says, no, I'm on the bottom. Like, I was completely on the outs. The only person who ever talked to me was Charity, who was also on the bottom of the tribe. And she trusted Kyle enough to go with it. And Kyle was smart enough to go with it. They start this game of yes and it just continues going. And it works really well for the two of them. So much so that the California girls are willing to go through Kyle's bag with Camilla sitting right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not going to happen on this season, right? No. Like, because of this episode, because of what it says about Camilla as a player, that won't happen this season. But yeah, just showed that she's easily underestimated. Mm-hmm. And I think even easily underestimated on this season. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sitting here saying could be a massive threat, might not get along with everybody, but has avenues. Maybe everybody else is coming out, though, saying that's a bigger fish to fry. That's a bigger fish to fry. I don't want to say this word because I don't want McKenna to, like, yelp. But could have Parvati-type upside here of should be a bigger threat, should be a bigger target, should be somebody that people are going for early. And you say, we'll get them next time. We'll get them next time. Mm-hmm. Oh shit, it's final three. And we saw that happen twice with Parvati. That could happen on this season for sure.
Well, I can see where you're going with it.
Yeah, that's easy for you to see. All of a sudden, it's like, yeah, see, again, McKenna's favorite season 48. She's in her wheelhouse now, right? Oh,
Jesus. The slander here. Okay, so I do see where you're coming with that, but I think Camilla is going to be one of all the players from 48. I think she has the smallest target, but I think it should be the biggest because Kyle, you know his game. And I feel like Joe, you know his game, but Camilla, I think she has a lot of unopened doors to her game that we saw a few open up in 48, but you know, there's a lot of rooms in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say maybe one of the most asinine things I've ever said on a podcast. Camilla, I know it's shocking. I know, but
I've done a lot of podcasts with you, John.
Camilla is either the first person from 48 out or the last person from 48 out. There's no in between.
Yeah, she won't. Yeah, I mean, it's not that crazy because there's three.
That's so what I'm saying. Essentially
saying she won't be second.
There's no, I don't think there's a single world where she is the second person from 48 out of this game.
I can't believe that she's about to be voted out second now. And we're just going to be like, John, remember when you made that bold prediction that was a 1 in 3 chance? You got it wrong.
You're going to dunk on me, but it's okay. It's still better than whatever Blake said about Joe's winning percentages. So
I do get what you're saying, though, here of with Camilla, either 48ers are going to be seen as threats or they're not going to be seen as threats. And if they're seen as threats, she's going right away. If they're not being seen as threats, why would you ever feel threatened by the fourth place finisher from that season? Mm-hmm. So I do get where you're coming from with that. My thing with Camilla is so far with everybody we've talked about, I think everybody so far is going to play the same game. Right. Or mm-hmm. similar. Stephanie is, Jenna is, Colby is, Joe is, Kyle is. They won't have their close allies, but they're going to play a very similar game to what they did the first time, or at least what they've done in all their times in some instances. Camilla's not. Mm. We are going to see a totally different version. And that's why when we did the cast assessment, I said, this is a 10 out of 10 for me. And Will was like, no, it isn't. I'm like, no, it really is. Because I think that Camilla is going to play an entirely different game than what we have seen in any episode of season 48. We are going to see a lot of strategy and we're going to see a lot of overplaying. Now, that overplaying could get her voted out right away, or that overplaying could be what ultimately puts her in command and gets her deeper into the game. Camilla is going to try to take the reins of this season. Whether it works for her or not remains to be seen, but Camilla is going to play a much more aggressive game, and she's not going to wait and be patient. She's not going to play somebody else's game. She wants to go to rocks. She's going to go to rock. She is not going to take the safe route just for the sake of taking the safe route. And I think that she is actually going to be one of the stars of season 50, even if she goes out very early. It'd be very Tom Westman in Heroes Villains, where it's like he's so impactful and integral to that season, even though he's barely in.
Yeah. And we saw Camilla and Kyle so in lockstep in this episode. And it will be interesting if Kyle reaches back out to Camilla because he's on the fritz, and then Camilla just is Scar and drops Mufasa into the wildebeests, and it's just like, sorry, you already got your mill. I'm out here to get mine. And I can just see her using what she has learned and how what worked, like this episode worked for her, taking how to use advantages and manipulate them to get the majority of votes when you're outnumbered.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a very good point, McKenna, because the strategic acumen that Camilla possesses, especially when it comes to the advantages, yet she gives her extra vote to Kyle, not only to solidify the alliance, but also to secure that extra vote with the person who is safe no matter what, because he's playing an idol on himself, and to make sure that that extra vote, in case of a tie situation where they split the votes and they need to tie, they still have that extra vote to force it rocks afterwards.
To make sure she doesn't go. Exactly. I mean, I do think too, like when I look at how Camilla plays and like how she played in this episode and like how she wanted to play with everybody else, like I think she understands advantages maybe better than anybody. And so, John, when you're talking about the advantages here, like when I think about this, when you look at the new era people who have played, Genevieve made a lot of her moves without advantages, right? Like Operation Italy, that's kind of the whole point of Operation Italy, right? Is that there are no advantages. It's just gameplay. Emily doesn't really get advantages. She just, you know, does what
she opts out. She literally opts out to get one. She goes on the journey.
Right. So like in the new era, Jonathan doesn't really do advantages.
Neither do Kyle nor Joe.
No, exactly. Camilla has the advantage with the advantages here because she understands them, because she's used them. And even though she used it early in the game and stuff like that, I think she's going to have a mind for this and maybe the best mind for the speed of what Survivor 50 is going to be. That doesn't mean that she's going to win. That doesn't even mean that she's going to go very far. But I think she's going to be prepared for this in a way that a lot of, if not all of, the other players aren't going to be.
Camilla's biggest adversaries aren't actually going to be the new school players. It will be the 30s. It'll be Aubrey and who have been in advantage heavy areas where we, Jenna Lewis, advantage who? Colby is like, I could care less about anything involving idols. Stephanie, her was in the first season with an idol and then gone in Heroes versus Villains. But like, these are all people who are a little behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest strengths Camilla has is she's probably one of the biggest super fans in the new era. And she will have this connections to this old school tribe. Like, McKenna, you mentioned that her biggest adversaries are going to be these people in the 30s. I also think those are exactly the type of people Camilla wants to play with, though. That's exactly what she was hoping to get going into this season, was someone like Phil. You, when you and Alexa did the Connections podcast, you're talking about how there are these like pairs of archetypes and everything. Camilla and Aubrey are the same player. And I think you get those two on the same beach together, that's a duo that could run the entire game with.
I think adversary is the wrong word. Biggest competition, where it's like they know they're of the similar vein and similar like mindsets, where that'll be her biggest obstacle is not going to be the new school or the old school. It'll be like the those 30 area people.
And this episode is how Camilla wants to play. But here's what my question is. Can Camilla play slow again? Can Camilla do what she did? I agree with you, McKenna. I don't think she can. No. I think she's going to be like, I need to go crazy. She's going to want to play. She's going to be trying to make these little subtle alliances. And she's going to see what she can get away with on this season in a way that we didn't see her do on 48. Because I think this is how she wants to play.
Does she pick up the strategy of just a bunch of little duos? Because the duo worked for her. So if one duo leaves. Wilson. I was avoiding the name, but yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's the game. Hey, I only talk from Survivor perspective. That's the game that was played. He played a duo game. That's it.
Yeah.
You know? Camilla could try to do that, but will she get caught with her hand in the cookie jar if she does the same thing over and over again?
It's a really tough way. Again, it's kind of hard to evaluate these 48 players in general because A, it's so fresh in our minds and the minds of the players going out there. But also, it was such a weird season in the new era, just like from a gameplay perspective, and knowing that Camilla was out there wanting to force rocks every second vote, that is a little concerning for how she's going to approach the game. Is it possible we're in for like a Tony-esque flayout and game changers for Camilla?
Could be. Absolutely. I mean,
she won't be going and running into the woods being like, woo, I'm looking for an idol. Yeah. So
maybe she will, because no one on 48 looked for an idol and she just needs to get that out there away.
Well, they all had Eva with the idol and they all knew where it was. So that was part of the strategy. So they didn't have to run around. But I do feel like, yeah, I mean, Camilla, can she be as subtly great as she was in this first season and as she was in this episode? I mean, what she pulls in this episode, it's so much more her move than Kyle's, right? Kyle still does a great job, but if it's not for Camilla, Kyle can't pull this off in the way that he does. I think my worry for her is at this point, she is the one being targeted instead of her ally being targeted in this season because she's seen as the threat, unlike, you know, where Kyle was seen as the threat in 48. Camilla is now being seen as the threat because I think a lot of the players are going to want to work with straightforward, keep it very obvious, let's go, rather than, wow, what is Camilla about to do to me? Because I don't want to be Thomas. I don't want to be getting on the plane or sitting at Ponderosa doing whatever while everybody else is still playing the game. And I haven't played in a long time. I want to play straightforward. I need Camilla out of here.
Yeah.
Another aspect of this episode in particular that applies to Camilla that I wonder if it comes into the game. In the immunity challenge, she doesn't do the puzzle. Is she going to allow that to happen in this season?
And this was a big learned lesson for her was, you know, she should have been in there and she should have spoke up, and it was her not having the confidence. Look, even if she reverts to not having the confidence that she had coming out of 48, it won't have hit her by 50. Like she's a different person right now. Maybe by 55 or 56, she's in a different mindset. But right now, no, she's saying, I'm good at the puzzle. Put me in.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, all right. Anything else about Camilla?
I'm excited to see what happens with her no matter what.
Yeah.
And this episode defines her so well, despite the fact that a lot of 48 is this idea of like the duos of it all, as Jeff said preseason, because he likes spoiling the final four of seasons for us, apparently. This is like when we pair this with Kyle's episode, it's two sides of the same coin. And this was really the Camilla-centric episode. This was Camilla's big coming out party this season. And this is the point where everyone's like, okay, Camilla's playing hard. Maybe Camilla has a chance to win this game. Mm-hmm. I hope we get something like this in 50 from her because I think she kind of deserves that moment. Mm-hmm.
Or she was purple, as some people tried to claim. All right. McKenna, you got anything? Or are you good?
Parvati 2.0, according there to you Phil.
Go. That's all she wants. Yeah, exactly. Overrated, right? Anyway, all right. So we're gonna jump in.
You're gonna be hearing way too much on Australian Survivor.
That's my favorite. All right. Next episode is going to be about Sari, Perilous Scramble, episode number 12 of Panama, also known as the 3-2-1 vote. So get ready for that one. Go touch up on it. That's a great episode. You should be watching that like once a week anyway. Thank you so much for listening. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Let us know if we got the right Camilla episode and what you think about Camilla's chances on season 50. And become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next time with Sari.